You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Restore to class. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for letting me address you here in your senior class chapel. I guess you have one of these a semester, which means this is your second unless, of course, you do that great victory lap the fifth year down in Christian Studies and Philosophy. We have a bunch of majors. If you don't have one, you are invited to return lap after lap in order to fulfill God's will. Thank you. It is an honor. Thank you, Katrin. Thank you, Michaela, and to all your class leaders. Thanks to Liam at 10,000 feet right now. It really is. It is an honor to be able to address you. And for this morning, I tried to put myself in your seat, your chapel seat, here in your senior year. I hope you like what I have for you. Oh, this is a microphone. Yes or no? This is yes.
This is no.
Raise your hand in the back if you like yes.
Raise your hand if you are fine with no. Oh,
the left-hand side, it says no. I will try to do this if I don't know. If I see a spider and drop the microphone and forget to pick it up, kind of forgive me. You are seniors in college. Things are about to change. You will not be surrounded by 800 other people your age that are really easy to connect with. This time next year, you will not be able to walk out of your room and encounter laughter and energy and joy and a huddle that is inviting to you. You probably won't be surrounded by 90% other Christians on a daily basis. Soon, you may feel lonely, empty, and maybe somewhat purposeless. Here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 to 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, body, and soul be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There is a thing you've probably been talking about, a thing that you've probably been seeking and want to know more of. It is that sometimes cliche, but amazingly wonderful and mysterious will of God. In a hard time of adjustment ahead, you're going to be seeking the will of God in what some days may feel like your plight. In particular, you're going to try and find your way in the world, especially around job, employment, career, income, and all the things that come with them. We call this thing a calling, or a vocation, and many of you have a sense of this, to represent a sense of being and belonging and purpose in us through what we do in the world. It is a glorious and wonderful thing to find the will of God, but it is not always an easy thing. You, after all, are a group of super talented, young, high potential people with a college degree. It's hard, right, age 22, to narrow in on one path, rule out all other possible careers at this stage of life. I want to articulate for you today a calling in three pieces of advice. I want to articulate God's call on your life as natural, complex and unpredictable. And just to reinforce the structure, everybody say natural, complex, and unpredictable. Then I'd like to illustrate, if you let me, my own journey to calling and career in a way that I hope you realize that the discovery of the will of God can be hard to discern, but that God is marvelously faithful. Number one, natural. God gave us the natural as a good gift. Take your fingers in your hands right now and like rub them together. Touch your hands. Feel the bios of life. This is a good thing. You have life. Exhortation number one. Live the natural life. Hope and pray. Expect even the supernatural. But life is a lot of natural. Don't be afraid to articulate the natural for your plans. I think this is best is a great thought. God seems to work through the natural more than he does supernatural baby steps towards a certain goal. The natural life is a gift, and it is good. It's good to make decisions, y'all. It's good to do something you believe God would have you to do without necessarily spiritualizing every moment and every step. This is the most controversial thing that I may say. Here's the danger of spiritualizing everything. Just because you want something, you want it, does not necessarily mean it is divinely approved. It is easy to say, I believe God wants me to go on this retreat. Or, I think God's calling me to a Caribbean vacation. Those are things that we may want. And sometimes, right, I hear y'all do this. Sometimes we keep attributing it to the divine almost to justify it to ourselves. Sometimes. I think we should admit this. Sometimes we rob ourselves of giving glory to God by doing the right thing, the best thing, through the natural efforts, the natural life and body and decision-making that he gave us as best as we can tell. God blesses us when we do our best and we even take our normal turn. God provides natural gifting as a likely signpost to career. Continue to hope and pray for divine guidance. There's plenty of verses for that. But watch against a pseudo glory to God with constant special leading when you can glorify him just by doing the natural best you that he has entrusted you with. You know, here's a great example, unscripted. A week ago, Liam said, hey, the worship team would love a topic that they may be able to choose the right songs. You may not know that he did that. And it was a week ago, right? And so I said, not ready yet. And so I did not provide them any direction, but I could not have chose a better song than I Depend on You to fit this theme today. Number two, complex. Don't pigeonhole yourself or God into thinking that journey decisions are either or decisions. This is the one that may make you think the most. Our God is so complex. We should try to discern his will through prayer, through friends' advice, and seek out godly friends, wise friends. And we should make those pros and cons on post-its about whether or not to anything. Take that first job, or take a job that doesn't seem to advance what you think is a call when it's the only one that you have. However, don't worry, for what that's worth, that you're making the wrong choice if it is well tested along those lines. I am convinced there are junctures in our lives where we could go right or go left. And God can work with either one. He's complex. He is sovereign that he can handle any choice that you make. And you know, even when we make the wrong choice, we have great verses like Romans 8:28. He can take that and he can do things for the good. Anything that you decide, if it is committed and honored to him, trust him. Trust him to see it through and the consequences. It's kind of like a divine 6-7. He can handle either one. I got coaching on that, just so you know. Don't sweat it. Trust him, make the best decision. Complex God can handle your choices. Again, that will be the one that makes you think, I hope. In a minute, I'm going to describe for you how I tried to follow that one narrow, predictable career calling, and I learned that the path was complex, and God was working something complicated and not something so simplistic that I could understand it all. In that process, I realized that God wasn't so interested in making sure I was on the right path as much as he wanted me. A faithful, trusting, obedient form of me. Number three, unpredictable. The path to career can be surprising, and its discovery can be slow and agonizing. I'd like to tell you about mine, my story. I hope you find it a blessing. As an illustration of the unpredictable, this is an abbreviated story, of course, that led me to being your senior class chapel speaker, but being in college teaching theology. It's not what you expect, and it's not what I expected, and it may be a foreshadowing of your own. Here's my one disclaimer in this story, is just because I'm about to diminish one major with its career path, for me, does not mean it is a bad major for someone else. I would like to affirm your major and every major as a possible calling to that field. So nod if you got my disclaimer. Nonetheless, raise your hand if you're a biology major or a chemistry major, biochem. Okay, I see about 30 half hands raised. Good. In 1989, this theology college professor graduated from the best Christian university in America with a biology degree and a chemistry minor. In case you don't recognize that school, I'm referring to this one. Okay. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I didn't know squat about chemistry. And so I followed my degree and my major and tried biology research. I didn't like it, and it did not like me. But I was 22, and I was finding my way. Before it was over, I would spend 10 years biology research. Upon graduation, my first job was isolating the protein relaxin. There's a phenomenon that's shared between humans and golden hamsters, in which we both store the protein relaxin in the Golgi apparatus. That is worth two chapel credits, I think. Relaxin is a hormone. It softens the symphysis pubis and softens the uterus that the baby may be born. If we could isolate the protein relaxin, if it could be converted to pharmaceuticals, then it would help women in delivery and maybe save lives. That's what I told myself. All day long, I worked with clear fluids in little tiny plastic tubes that was doing something that I was trying to figure out. My boss would say, here, spend the day reading these articles and learn about what we're researching, right? I was horrible at this job. But at this job, I also did animal husbandry. I would track the cycles of female golden hamsters in order to see them pregnant, harvest them, collect the protein, and tag the protein with radioactive iodine. Golden hamsters cycle once every 4 days. So my job was to take my thumb and my little finger and spread the legs, and then you probe, you identify the cycle, and then on day two, when you realize she is in heat, you take the heated hamster, you put her in her own cage, you get a male hamster, you put him in the cage, you turn out the lights, you come back the next day, and now you have what you hope is going to be a pregnant hamster. To be clear, indeed, here at Senior Chapel, with your class advisor, can't keep them straight. In my life, I was tracking the menstrual cycles of golden hamsters as God's call on my life. And this is when I began to pray, really, Lord, I knew that first year that this career wasn't for me, and I had 9 more years of it. I quit my job. After a year, against conventional wisdom and the wishes of my parents, to become a youth pastor. I loved it. I got $200 a month and lived in the pastor's basement. My youth group was comprised entirely of farmers, children, a great people in rural Indiana. With corn and soybeans all around, there was nothing to do. And it was okay, because every farm had a four-wheeler and a strand of rope, and all you needed was a piece of cardboard, and you had carnival rides, right? And ride we did. It was super fulfilling to serve them and, of course, Jesus. I still had no career path. And in fact, I didn't see at the time how much I loved teaching young people. I moved to St. Louis without a vision. I got a second biology job in something you didn't know probably existed, weed science. I would plant these weed seeds in pots, I would grow them, I would spray them with herbicide, and then I would observe and record the killing of the weeds. Ironically, we had perfect growing conditions, top of the line, million-dollar greenhouses, but I could not get these weeds to grow. I was horrible at this job, I will admit. But something happened during this time, class, chapel. Sometimes, besides, that is, finding my future wife, and had to include that in case she came. No, just kidding. I took a class at a seminary, and I loved it. And I took a second class, and I loved it. And I fell in love with New Testament, biblical language, and theology. Everyone whisper like brick, theology. It's beautiful. God shaped a call on my life about age 26, like 4 years from you. I finally said, I think this is it. And when I got that trajectory, there was no stopping me. I wanted to teach. I thought I could be pretty good at it. And this is what I felt like God was calling me to do. So I began to ask my professors in seminary, how did you get here? In an effort to find that common path to achieve my goal. By the way, naturally. But each prof had come on a different path. One had been a lumberjack. One had been an artist. One a computer engineer. At first, that was scary. Well, how do I get there? But then it became liberating. Any way I want. Or any way I can. The sole underlying criterion was being faithful to the God who called and trusting him to be faithful to me in that call. And he was, and he will be for you. So I did what I knew, biology research. Little did I know, like a countdown, in case you're wondering, how many years left? 8 more years I had of this lab life. Weed science ended with graduation from seminary. Now I needed the doctorate in this call. I got a job in biology research at a medical school at a university doing vaccine trial research. I did the lab work for vaccines and flu, paraflu, RSV, HPV, rotavirus, smallpox, HIV. For the latter, I would put on this giant biohazard suit, go into the level 3 lab. I was kind of cool. It was a inward air take lab, so when you open the door to go in, it sucked air in from the outside in case airborne pathogens on the inside, right, would want to exit. And I would wear this giant big blue bubble of a suit while I performed PCR, polymer chain reaction. These were assays for people's blood serum to identify whether or not they were HIV positive. Thus, all of the blue bubble. It was a sad day when I would have to pick up the phone from the lab and call my supervisor, and my supervisor in turn have to call the trial nurse who had a list of participants. We were blind to it. And the trial nurse would tell somebody, I'm sorry to say you're HIV positive. All that from my work. It's a lot of responsibility on a theologian and a big blue bubble. But during this time, I would walk into a minus 30 freezer where the samples were stored, and I would close my eyes and I would pretend, I will admit it. I don't know if I've admitted this really publicly. I would pretend that it was a cool breeze blowing down from the Rocky Mountains onto me, far away from lab life. And I would pray, I remember, like it was almost liturgical. I'd go alone into the minus 30 lab and pray, how long, oh Lord, do I have to do this? I never heard an audible answer. In fact, when I listened, I got silence. But later I reflected on what the two-part answer was in the planning of heaven. Until you're patient in trust of me. That's how long. And until I pay for it, so you don't have to. By working at the university med school, I got tuition waiver for doctoral studies in theology. No cost for that last degree. Graduating ready to be a college professor. Now I get to teach Christian college students about the thing I love, theology, and to do brain rot. I get to teach about the living, exciting God who called me to these things and to say nonchalant, dread, head. I don't know what it means, but it's great just to be able to do it. By the way, reminds me of my dad who lives here. He lives up in Wesley Village. And when he introduces himself, hi, I'm Bill Shelton. I live at Wesley Village. I'm one of the village people. I don't think he knows what it means, but he knows that it's funny. But of course, that's not the point. The point is that God's will is manifest sometimes, often. Not in the neon light in the sky, not in the voice that we think that we hear moment to moment, not always, but sometimes in the natural, complex, and unpredictable way. That's God's way, to work through the regular means most, to allow for unique complexities, and to provide things that are unpredictable, except for our ability to trust him. It's entirely predictable. And so I pray for you, restored class. Let's pray. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, body, and soul be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Thank you.